Welcome to Equity. Today we've got an equity shot for you because breaking news happened over the weekend. There's a new CEO at Uber, at least he's been offered the job. It's Dara Khosrowshahi, who is the CEO of Expedia based in Seattle, and it kind of threw everyone for a surprise. There had been names like Jeff Immelt and Meg Whitman that were thrown out, but there was no reporting that this guy was going to get the job, and it kind of came through at the last minute from what it sounds like. So what do you make of all this? I know Alex has been reading up all about him.
Yeah, well, the most embarrassing thing is when this broke on Twitter, my first thought was, heck, who the hell is that? Because I really hadn't actually read the name, which is a bad mark against me. But what I did for this little shot is that I went and pulled some biographical details of Dara. So if you don't know who he is, like I didn't, this will help just a little bit. I'll walk you through this quickly as I can. He was born in Iran in 1969 and immigrated to the U.S. in 1978 when he was a kid. He got his electrical engineering degree from Brown University, which is actually, ironically, where I'm sitting right now. I'm about a half mile from the Brown campus here in Providence. When I saw that, I was like, oh, perfect. I'm actually on site. He later joined IAC, a company that is now worth about $8.5 billion. And IAC ended up picking up the majority of Expedia from Microsoft back in 2001. Anyways, Dara took it over, took Expedia over when it spun out in 2005 and grew it to a valuation of around $23 billion. So he has a history of growing public companies, in a sense. And also, Expedia did a bunch of deals under his tenure. And so inside the business community, I believe he's very well known, even though he's not as well known as a public figure in the tech industry.
And so we have Matt Murphy on the line. He's been on our show before. He's at Menlo Ventures, which owns a pretty big stake in Uber. They're one of the largest shareholders. So this is relevant news for you, Matt. What do you make of this move?
Well, it's great on a lot of different levels. I mean, you know, anytime there's no CEO in a company, in some ways, even if it's a great company like Uber, the company can feel a little bit rudderless. It's hard to manage a company with either a board or with an executive team of 10. And then to, you know, exacerbating that situation, obviously, was all the conflict with Travis, the board, and, you know, some of the internal culture dynamics. So I think what this really does is allow the company to move forward now together in a very constructive manner. You know, the whole search process was kept pretty quiet around the board, aside from some of the leaks about Meg and Jeff and Mel. But you know, this candidate was kind of a surprise to everyone, but, you know, really a very positive surprise now that, you know, he's been announced. I mean, he's clearly a tech executive who understands consumer, who understands growth. You know, he's been around kind of, you know, the travel space broadly, which I guess you can say Uber isn't moving people around. But he's been a consolidator, too. He's brought a lot of different businesses together. And as you know, Uber has its hands in a lot of different things, you know, both globally and here as they move into Uber Eats and thinks about, you know, flying machines on their network, bikes on their network, all kinds of things like that. So it's not a it's a multidimensional business. And he's proven that he can operate in a multidimensional business. And I think as important as all that, probably the most important thing is he seems to be a beloved CEO. I mean, if you look at his Glassdoor ratings, which have been, you know, well publicized now, but I read through a bunch of them this morning, and people really like this executive. And, you know, that's at a time what Uber's kind of gone through for an executive who understands growth, a complex business, and who's built a good culture seems fantastic to me. So certainly we're all very excited here.
Yeah, I've been asking around, and I mean, I don't know him personally, but people who do know him have only said great things. And actually, I'm almost shocked that Uber reached any decision at all, given all this board drama. I guess drama is an understatement when you have all these lawsuits with Benchmark suing Travis Kalanick, the former CEO of Uber, and all these, you know, Shervin Pishavar, who used to work at Menlo, who's now at Sherpa Capital, coming back and saying he wants to investigate all the interactions between Benchmark and employees and all that because he's accusing them of leaking stuff. So there's been so much drama. I'm actually surprised that they've been able to make a decision here, that they were able to find someone who sounds like he's good. One thing that I read that I liked is not only did he you know, bring the stock up triple it in the last 5 years. But he was also good to women. The company is actually, Expedia was majority female. For a tech company, it's highly unusual. They said it was 52% female, 51% of their U.S. employees. Not only that, but they claim that for comparable roles, women were paid the same amount that men were. And so they touted that record last year. So clearly it was important to them to not only hire women and treat them well within the company, but it was good for their business as well. Their company has done well under that. And so considering that a lot of the problems at Uber stemmed from this Susan Fowler blog post in February, which accused the company of having what sounded like a fairly sexist culture, I think it's great to see that they're bringing in someone who seems to have a track record that stands out, really stands out compared to a lot of other tech companies. Alex,
are you disappointed that the new CEO isn't a woman? I thought there was some coverage over the last week or so that the company was definitely looking to hire a woman as its next leader. And in this case, it didn't, even though he has a great track record on those issues. I mean, are you surprised or disappointed by the fact that it's another man?
No, I mean, I think if they hired a woman that was a good woman, I would have been excited about that. But I don't think they should rule out men just because of what happened to Uber. I mean, as long as they pick a man who's going to treat women well, which he has a track record of, I'm happy with that. So I don't personally take issue with that at all. So I think that from what it sounds like, again, I don't know this guy, and a lot of people here don't because he's based in Seattle, but I could see why he sounded like the candidate for the job. And one thing that I did find interesting is actually even right before the Susan Fowler blog post, you may recall this Delete Uber campaign related to Uber operating within the strike related to the Muslim ban or whatever you want to call Trump's attempted restriction of Muslim immigrants. And so a lot of the Delete Uber campaign that really caught fire on social media in January was related to that. And this the new CEO, he is said to be of Muslim descent or Muslim background. So that might help Uber's perception as well in terms of being good to people of all religious backgrounds. So I think like he really kind of fits the bill for what they need.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. On a lot of different dimensions. And Katie, you know, you just listed off a bunch of things. And the problem is, Uber's such a great company. We know what a phenomenon it's been, you know, of the decade for consumers and changed the way we get around, we drive, limited, you know, drunk driving, so many benefits to it, help people who couldn't otherwise have a car get around, all these things. But the last 9 months, all it's been about all the bad things around Uber and more recently, very concentrated drama between the board. And I think we'll all be shocked and surprised at how quickly all that quiets down and people get behind the new CEO and move forward. Until you have the leadership in place. And I think, you know, certainly what you mentioned about his track record with women, the fact that he's an immigrant and understands those issues, the fact that he's built a great culture and is so well thought of in his own company, I think that's going to translate really well into Uber at just the right time. In addition to, you know, being a leader who's really coming into the prime of his career at age 49 or something like that, I think, you know, his experience level, and that's when I think leaders can really, you know, hit their prime. So it's the right, really feels like the right person at the right time. And I think so much of this is going to quiet down so quickly because people just really want to move forward. And as long as they have the leader they can trust and get behind, that's what people focused on, not all this noise that's been going on.
So I'm kind of curious on that point. If you're him and you're coming into this company, given that it's been a rocky couple of months, to say the least, what do you do to try to establish initial credibility when you're an external person who doesn't have a history of operating at the business?
You know, I think there are many different dimensions to that. I think the first thing he needs to make, you know, the board has obviously come to a decision, which means Benchmark's on board, Travis is on board. And so I think that dynamic's going to quiet down. The next thing he needs to address is, you know, the employee base broadly, and they need to understand who he is, what his management style is like, and what, you know, what his plan is to take the company forward. But so many things are already working at the company well already. You know, there's going to be an influx of new executives and new leaders, and Uber still has a tremendous amount of that in place. But I think it's really kind of understanding his plans and watching him closely, both in terms of what he says and what he does over the next 90 days. So I'm sure he's well aware of, you know, how to do some of those things, having gone from, I guess, his role in Barry Diller's organization as a CFO, being thrust into a public company that Expedia was. He's already kind of had to go through, you know, proving himself in a, you know, very public setting as a public company CEO. And that first chapter for him worked out well, as Katie said, with the 3X, you know, stock price lift in 5 years. And if he can do that here at Uber, I think people will pretty quickly forget a bunch of stuff that's going on right now that hasn't been so pleasant.
And because he was running a public company, we have some insight into how much money he was making. Bloomberg data showed that he had, it sounded like, over $184 million in unvested stock options. So that means that likely Uber would have to pay him more than that for him to walk away from that. So he really commands a pretty hefty salary here. At one point, he was one of the top paid CEOs a few years ago, I believe, on the S&P 500. So he's not inexpensive. But then again, Uber is supposedly worth $68 billion based on their last private round. So if they argue that their valuation hasn't gone down, it might be easy for them to offer shares that are worth a comparable amount or more than that.
Yeah, that's true, Katie. I mean, I don't know exactly what his compensation package is, but as you know, CEOs coming into companies, even late stage companies, sometimes get, you know, 3-4%. There's no way he's getting that here. Actually, I don't know. So I shouldn't say there's no way. But I think, look, even if he got 1% of Uber to come in and be the CEO, well, you know, if it stays at its current valuation, well, minus, you know, the strike price, whatever. But point is, if he gets this company even up by 30% in valuation, he'd make more than that. But I'm sure that's not what this is about for him. I think he recognizes this is a great company and great opportunity in the market and great opportunity in his career to take a great company and make it into something even more iconic over time. One of the top five consumer companies out there forever. I think it's got that potential. And so, you know, he probably sees that and jumped at the opportunity.
Where do you think Travis stands here? Or what do you think is going to happen with Travis? Because a lot of the talk on who the next CEO was related to, will Travis still get a role at the company? Is he just going to be on the board? Do you have any insight into what might happen here?
I really don't. Somehow they came to the conclusion together that he was the right person. So I'm sure we'll hear sometime over the next few weeks what that means relative to Travis. But clearly Travis, got on board with this and Benchmark did as well. And, you know, their venture partner, Rich Barton, has founded Expedia. So he probably knows Dara quite well. And there seems to be a lot of connectivity here, and people, you know, agree that he was the right person. And I think we'll learn more as we go. But just to get that point of harmony and agreeing on who this person should be helps everything move forward so much more constructively.
So Matt, before we close here, I'm kind of curious, what signals should we look for as external parties that may kick off from Uber that will give us an indication of how he's doing? Aside from your normal set of leaks, are there going to be any external signals that we can look for, either positive or negative, that'll help us determine how well he's slotted into a very, very hard role at a very, very quickly moving company?
I think you'll see it in who he hires. I think you'll see it in who he retains and who he decides not to retain. Certainly, we can always go read more Glassdoor reviews and see how he's trending at Uber. you know, I think some of the strategic moves, how is he kind of putting his imprint on some of what's going on, all the way from the, you know, some of the stuff that he has to clean up, like the Waymo situation, to, you know, what he does. I'm sure that we'll hear kind of, there'll be some leaks in here. We'll hear what he's doing internally to set the right tone culturally and things like that. So those are the things I'd want to see, because I think those are the things that need to be addressed, you know, nearest term to, you know, help the company live up to its potential.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this breaking news. We've been talking about Uber for so long, and so now we finally have an answer about who's expected to be running it next. And we're still going to do our regular episode, so come back on Friday.
All right, everyone. I want to say a special thanks to our producer, TechCrunch's own Christopher Gates, our executive producer, Henry Picavet. Thank you to Katie Roof. Thank you to Matthew Lindley. And thank you to you for leaving us that 5-star iTunes review. That's Equity. We'll see you all next Friday.